You are Locked On Dynasty Football, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Here are your hosts, Matt Williamson and Ryan McDowell.
Welcome to the Locked On Dynasty Football Podcast, presented by Pepsi. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for the game, no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and to become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. I'm your host, Ryan McDowell. You can find me on Twitter at RyanMC23. Joining me today, as always, is Matt Williamson. Follow Matt on Twitter at WilliamsonNFL. Matt, how's it going today?
Things are good. How are you?
Things are good. We had a Monday night football doubleheader. We got all the games in week six. Some bumps in the road, but overall, a good week. Matt, today, as always, on Tuesday, we're going to start with our dynasty transactions. We'll get into some team building and some listener questions as well. I'm going to start this week. One rookie, and there's been a lot of rookie talk. These players, for the most part, have been impressive. Justin Jefferson is unreal. I mentioned this on Twitter yesterday that 25 rookies, I believe was the number, 25 rookies have had at least 160 receiving yards in a game. Justin Jefferson became the third one to do it twice, along with Marques Colston and Randy Moss, so good company there. CeeDee Lamb, we know, has been tearing it up and moving up ranks as well. We'll talk about him a little bit later. But one player who I think is kind of going under the radar a little bit is T. Higgins, and he's been maybe not quite as impressive as those players, but he's in the ballpark, I think. This is a player that fell into the second round in a lot of rookie drafts and was almost kind of an afterthought because the Bengals had some nice depth, or at least we thought they did. Of course, Tyler Boyd, A.J. Green, they've had injuries. They've had some disappointment from Green. And T. Higgins looks like he's the Bengals wide receiver one already. If I can get any kind of discount on him because of really just because of him being in the shadow of these other rookies who are performing so well, I would love to take that.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. I think him and Burrow are really building something together. It gets better every week. I think it's safe to say that Ross and A.J. Green will be elsewhere, but I don't see them using a first or second round pick on a receiver. They have offensive line and defensive needs, and I think it's going to be Higgins and Boyd and whomever else growing with Burrow, and I'm a big Burrow believer. Higgins, I mean, most of us thought, you know, that he would be a first round pick before he didn't run so great, and who cares if he runs great, really? I mean, history shows that 40 times aren't that big a deal for that, you know, for future success. I think he's a touchdown producer. I think he's a volume guy. I like that one a lot.
Yeah, and again, he was a late first, early second round pick in most rookie drafts that happened within the past few months. So this is not a guy you're going to steal. You're a second round pick is not going to get him. You will have to give up a first rounder or potentially a player and a second round pick. But he's a player I'll be shopping for this week for sure.
And the beauty of him is he can help you now and the future. You know, I mean, it's not just a down the road guy. You can start him this week.
Absolutely. Who's on your shopping list this week, Matt?
Yeah, this one is buy him and sell him. And that's Jamison Crowder with the dreadful, dreadful New York Jets. And basically, don't hold him unless you're in the hunt and you're doing well with him and you're starting him. He can't be in the long-term plans. They're going to blow that thing up. But he's the only productive guy in that offense. Say what you want about Adam Gase, and there's a lot to say about him. But his slot guys produce numbers. They get targets. It doesn't matter if it's Flacco or Darnold. He's getting a lot of a lot of attention from the offense. They're always losing. So go pick him up cheap if you could use him as a starter right now. And if you're a not-so-great team, move him while you still can. So get Crowder on the move no matter what.
Yeah, I like that call, and that makes sense. He really is a player that his value and whether you should be a buyer or seller on him is completely team and situation dependent based on your dynasty team. Mm-hmm. I saw him moved in one of my leagues this week for a second rounder, so I think that's certainly a reasonable price to pay. Yeah, you're a contender.
You're a good team, and it's probably a late one, yeah.
Right, you need one more piece. Buy Jamison Crowder, stick him in your lineup every week, and don't even think about it. Of course, on the other side of that, if you're at the bottom of the standings, you're 1-5 after 6 weeks, this is not a guy you want on your team. He's not going to be a long-term asset. And like you said, the Jets, they're going to blow this thing up, and maybe he's not even with the team next year. Who knows? Yeah. And maybe that's not a bad thing, actually. Matt, side note, and I don't think it's really dynasty related, but you've been around the game as a scout for a long time, as a member of the media, as a fantasy player. Is this Jets team the worst team you've ever seen?
It's recency bias, you say yes, but I actually threw this out on the Peacock and Williamson show, also on the Locked On Network, saying, hey, Miami just went up there and killed the Jets. Or no, it was in Miami, sorry. They just went and destroyed the Jets. But just 1 year ago, I was saying Miami was the worst team I've ever seen. So things can change quickly. I mean, I'm not projecting that for the Jets. I don't think they'll be 500 this time next year. But I thought the Dolphins of 5-6 weeks into last year was the worst team I'd ever seen.
Yeah, they were certainly bad. I guess the silver lining there. Right. The silver lining with the Dolphins is it felt like they had a plan, right? They were acquiring draft picks.
Right,
they were moving
trading
on from
big guys, yeah.
Right. Moving on from players to acquire those draft picks, and it just felt like they're terrible, but there's a plan in place, and maybe it comes together for the Jets, but I don't see that right now. They did make a trade Sunday after the game, moving one of their linemen for a draft pick, I would assume. So maybe they're starting to look that direction.
Well, they trade Jamal Adams. I mean, they could have a couple firsts next year, and maybe, you know, Trevor Lawrence. Things could change quickly.
Yeah, that's true. Almost certainly bound to win the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes as it may be. Yeah. Matt, one other player, or really kind of a group of players that I would be shopping for are just the rookie running backs. I mentioned this on Twitter last week as well. Those big five running backs that we were all excited to draft and to put on our fantasy teams. Of course, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Jonathan Taylor, J.K. Dobbins, Cam Akers, and DeAndre Swift. Those five entered week six with not a single top 10 fantasy game to their name combined. So, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire had produced a couple of low-end RB1 games. He was the RB11, the RB12. To be fair, Cam Akers has been out of the lineup with an injury. But even on Sunday night, when he's healthy, he gets one snap. I would start shopping for really any of those running backs who might be on the outs with their dynasty managers. We're going to talk a little bit more about Clyde Edwards-Helaire on our next segment.
That's a great one. I mean, it seems like it's as low as Taylor and Dobbins and these guys' stock can go. Swift picked it up this week, but maybe even, I'm not a big AJ Dillon guy, but Zach Moss and McFarland and some of these even like not top five running backs, none of the rookies are doing much yet.
Yeah, James Robinson continues to be somehow the real the shining star of that rookie running back class. I guess that's 2020 for us.
Folks, this football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch the season. And I'm really happy with how the season's gone, to be very honest. I was worried that it was going to be a lot clunkier than it's been. But Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching.
Matt, we're back this week on our team building talk. I want to focus on one NFL team that is certainly trying to improve their team, make moves to get even better, which is exactly what Dynasty teams and Dynasty managers should be doing. Whether you're at the top of the standings or not, don't let up. Keep going. Keep working that waiver wire. Keep working the trade lines. That's what the Chiefs did. After the Jets cut Le'Veon Bell, the Chiefs swooped in. They were reported as one of the favorites, one of the interested teams, almost right away, and they come away with Le'Veon Bell. Of course, he did not play on Monday night. Has to go through all the COVID protocols, and that requires him to sit out a period of time. But he is expected to to make his debut next week. And we saw Clyde Edwards-Hilaire run well on Monday night. Was pretty impressive. Had yet another rushing touchdown taken away from him there in the first half. That seems to be a frustrating theme for him. But I just want to hear your thoughts on this move. First, just from a football standpoint, has Edwards-Hilaire, I know he came into the league, or at least Dynasty players had such high expectations for him coming into the league, that I think our opinion maybe is kind of skewed just based on what you've seen on the field from him. Are you surprised the Chiefs would make this move?
I'm not, because I think they like him. There's not really a knock on Edwards-Helaire, but he has a couple deficiencies that worry me a little bit. First of all, pass protection. Second of all, short yardage, and I think Bell excels in those two areas, even if he's lost a step, which is probably true, but Bell also might be in that Drake, Parker, Tannehill, go on and on and on, of players that are really good unless they play for Adam Gase category. I mean, so I think playing for Andy Reid in Kansas City might be a little different than Adam Gase, and I bet they get quite a bit out of Bell. I do think his addition absolutely hurts Edwards-Helaire's stock, though, and is not a ringing endorsement for the young player. Maybe he's more of a part-time guy than a foundation back. And while he's looked good this year, I think he looks good and not great, not special. I would be shocked if he ever gets to the Kamara level in terms of dynasty or public perception of him as a player.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Obviously, this has to hurt Edwards-Helaire, no matter how you value him or no matter what your expectations were, just adding a back of Bell's level and talent has to hurt CEH in the short term. Do you still think of him as the long-term starter and a dynasty player you would be targeting?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think he's the long-term guy. But I don't know that he'll always... I mean, maybe Damian Williams is a sidekick now. I think he'll always have a sidekick.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. And that probably means we as Dynasty players should not be valuing him, at least not at the top of the ranks. And I know earlier in the year when... Well, first of all, I guess it happened, the kind of the first straw was Damian Williams opting out. That shot... Clyde Edwards-Helaire up dynasty ranks, and then when Barkley and McCaffrey both suffered those injuries, dynasty players were asking themselves, is Clyde Edwards-Helaire the RB1 overall? That was a conversation that was happening, and now just 3 or 4 or 5 weeks later, that feels pretty crazy, but that's where the value was then. I think he's trending down not only because of the Bell signing, but because of his play on the field. So I still think he's a dynasty RB1. He's still a top 12 option for me, but he certainly has lost some value because of all this. I did want to pull up some recent trades using the trade finder at Dynasty League Football. I pulled some for both Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Le'Veon Bell. See what you think about some of these, Matt. The first one, I'm not loving it. Clyde Edwards-Helaire for David Montgomery, Miles Gaskin, and a first rounder. And as always, we'll throw in there, we don't know where these picks are. If this is a first rounder that is the favorite for the 101, that would certainly change things. But we just think of these as random first rounders. And because of that, I do not like this deal. I would rather have Edwards-Helaire in this one.
Right. I mean, it's not far-fetched to say Montgomery and Gaskin aren't even their top backs next year.
Yeah, Montgomery is a player, especially after what we saw on Sunday. I would be trying to sell him, not to buy him in place of Edwards-Helaire. The next one's certainly more interesting. Edwards-Helaire for Joe Mixon and Henry Ruggs. I think I would have taken that, or at least considered that, even a month ago when the hype was strong for CEH. Now it looks like a really nice deal.
Yeah, and I think Ruggs is more than just the Ted Ginn, Deshaun Jackson that he's stereotyped to be. I think he'll be a real dynasty asset. I'll take the mix and rug side on that one, too.
I will as well. Last one, it feels like these guys are almost in similar situations in that they're losing value. Edwards-Helaire on one side and Mike Evans on the other. The numbers were not pretty for Mike Evans coming out of Sunday. I saw a couple people mention this. When Chris Godwin has been in the lineup this week or this year, Mike Evans has a 10% target share. He's just not getting the looks when Godwin's on the field, and that's bad news. We already know his yardage has been low this year. A ton of his catches, and including his touchdown receptions, have been within the 3 or 4 yard line. I'm worried about Mike Evans.
Yeah, I think he's battled some injuries. I think there's a little bit of disconnect with Brady. He's been ridiculously touchdown dependent, which won't keep up. And Edwards-Helaire is a running back and Evans is a receiver and he's older. I want Edwards-Helaire for sure.
Yep, me as well. All right, we don't usually agree on those, but we do on that one. Let's check in on Le'Veon Bell's value. And just for the record, Le'Veon Bell was involved in a lot more trades recently than was Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So people have been kind of patient, I guess, with Bell on their roster, and they're taking this opportunity for increased value to go ahead and move him. The first one, Le'Veon Bell for Michael Pittman and a third rounder. Of course, we know Pittman is on the injured reserve list right now with that injury, but I'm taking Pittman and the pick unless absolutely desperate for a running back. And even if I am, I think I'm still taking the rookie there.
Yeah, I love Pittman, and he's done nothing to change my mind. It's not his fault that, you know, what the situation he's in right now. I want Pittman.
Right. Le'Veon Bell and a third rounder for a first round pick. Again,
I want the first.
Easy decision. Easy decision for me. Yeah. Give me the first round pick. The others are more interesting. We've got Le'Veon Bell for Mike Davis. Davis struggled a little bit on Sunday. We're hoping maybe McCaffrey comes back soon. That's what the reports are telling us. I mean, I've been as impressed with Mike Davis as anybody, and he's been great. But when McCaffrey comes back, this is his job. We're not going to see Mike Davis very much anymore. So this is Le'Veon Bell here. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Mike Davis is a rental. Bell might be a starter somewhere next year.
This is, I think, the closest one, surprisingly. Le'Veon Bell for Myles Gaskin, a second-round pick and a third-round pick. I mean, just to preface it, I don't think Le'Veon Bell is worth a first-round pick at all.
Right.
So I think he's more in that second round plus, you know, whether it's 2 seconds or maybe it's a second and a third. So to get a second, a third, and Gaskin, who continues to play pretty well, I think that's the side I want in this one.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to ask yourself, who would you rather have for the rest of 2020, Le'Veon Bell or Gaskin? I think my answer is Gaskin, and he's younger, and I'm picking up picks. I'll go with Gaskin. I mean, I'm not going to make him a foundation of my dynasty team. He may not be worth anything in 2 years, but he's worth something now, and the picks are nice.
Yeah, yep, I agree. And last one, pretty straightforward, Le'Veon Bell for a second rounder. That's kind of where I see the value, and if you're desperate to sell Le'Veon Bell, that's probably the best you're going to get.
Yeah, it's kind of the Crowder conversation. Just depends where your team is.
Yeah, absolutely. Matt, when we come back, we will end with a listener question, and it is a good one about not rookie wide receivers, about our top five wide receivers in Dynasty.
But first, I want to tell you guys about rockauto.com. I mean, with the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. So why endure the often pointless and seemingly intimidating questions and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing only the brands his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. So, you know, one reason to repair and maintain your car is to save money, and then you can use for other important things like mortgage or food or whatever you want to spend it on. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. So, they have everything from like engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps and motor oil, even new carpet, whether it's for your classic or your daily driver. Get everything you need in a few easy clicks, delivered directly to your door. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals or do-it-yourselfers. So why spend twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us?" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Also, I want to tell you guys about Built Go. Everyone has a wall in front of them in some way, shape, or form. I mean, however you want to interpret that, you know, what is your wall? And Built Go is the solution to breaking through your wall. Built Go is a healthy replacement for your energy drink, but energy is not fake. It's lasting and natural. I got to talk to some of the Built Go folks, and it's the same people that brought us the world's fastest growing protein bar, Built Bar. They've been a big sponsor of the Locked On Network for a while. Very, very impressive. So, I mean, make sure you break through your wall, whether it's mental or physical. Break through it with Go every day. It's easy to take in a 1.5-ounce package. Put in your briefcase for the most focused presentation ever. I like to take them with me on my way to my Steelers shows that are from 4 to 6 every day when I'm starting to kind of drag, and I take one right before that and buzz right through those 2 hours. There's three delicious flavors, peanut butter, honey, coconut, your chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. But how do they work so well? I mean, Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is a fast-absorbing, so it gets into your system fast, plus it's easy to stomach. Built Go is loaded with good stuff to ignite my work, like beta-alanine, B3, honey, and a little kick of caffeine. Built Go then kicks to keep you going strong all day, B6, B12. And here's the offer you guys got to take care of, though. Go to visitbuiltgo.com, use our promo code LOCKED, and you get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 20% off at builtgo.com.
All right, Matt, we are back. We are going to answer some listener questions, and actually we're just going to answer one today because it's a biggie. This comes from CD, that's at CHD3113 on Twitter, and he says, can you guys run through your current top five Dynasty wide receivers? I feel like this is changing every week with younger guys like DK, AJ Brown, Ridley, all having big weeks lately. And I totally agree. It has changed a lot. My rankings change. I feel like almost every time I look at them, I could move a player up or down a little bit. So Matt, let's start with you, and let's kind of go broad before we get into the specifics of where we're ranking players. We've seen DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, CeeDee Lamb, and Calvin Ridley specifically really jump up Dynasty rankings. These are all players that that were probably being ranked or drafted, valued in that, let's say, wide receiver 8 to 20 range coming into the season. I think they're all within the top eight now. So they've all gained value. Do you agree with that? And seeing 5 or 6 weeks worth of games, is that too soon to value these young wide receivers that highly?
No, I don't. I mean, we had a good conversation the other day or week or two ago about DK and CD Lamb. I know you're extremely high on those two, and that really opened my eyes to, wow, these guys are potentially, and we'll get to our list, going past the Michael Thomas and Devontae Adams of the world. And I mean, a big theme of our show is things change really quick, and up-and-comers need to be addressed, and you don't want to be caught waiting behind. So, yeah, I have seven names here that I considered for my top five, and Ridley and Chris Godwin were the ones that just missed. And I feel like Godwin is a little bit out of sight, out of mind, but boy, he's a really good player, and I think he's ready to erupt. We mentioned Mike Evans earlier. Godwin was the guy last year who's in the Ridley shoes this year. Let's not forget about him and exclude him from the group.
Yeah, Godwin, another one like A.J. Brown, who has dealt with some injuries and missed some time and maybe has been dinged because of that. But again, we're playing the long game with Dynasty here. So moving those guys down because of a 2 or 3 week injury is usually not good practice. Let's start at the top here, Matt. Who is your wide receiver one in Dynasty right now?
DK Metcalf, and I urge people to go back to the show we mentioned, and you made a really strong point, and I'm 100% on board. I love his situation for short term, the long term, the physical ability, the touchdown scoring, plenty of volume. He's hard not to like.
Yeah, you know, based on our conversations on and off the air, that I am with you there. He is my wide receiver one as well. We saw great things last year as a rookie. It took him a little while to come on, which is true of so many young players, especially rookie wide receivers. But he was just a force, especially in the red zone as an end zone target, and he's continued that and really expanded that role. He's doing a lot on not as many targets. I think a lot of people, non-fantasy players, probably still think of Tyler Lockett as the wide receiver one there, and he might be. I mean, depending on how you define the wide receiver one versus wide receiver two role. But certainly DK Metcalf is the player I want on my rosters. And really, when it comes to changing rankings and adjusting player value, we do that at the draft, we do that during free agency, but of course the time it really happens the most is on a weekly basis in season when we're seeing these guys on the field. For me, it's really easy, first of all, to be too aggressive and to overrank, to overvalue. That's mm-hmm. very easy. I've certainly been guilty of it myself in the past, and who knows, maybe these examples are going to be more of those. But when it comes down to it, I ask myself, would I trade this player for that player? Would I trade DK Metcalf for Michael Thomas, who most people valued as the wide receiver one entering the season, and many probably still do? And no, I would not. I would rather have DK Metcalf. If I've got Thomas, I would give Michael Thomas for DK Metcalf, and not even...
That answers it, yeah.
Right, not need anything back. So that's kind of where I am, and it, really for me it is as simple as that. All right, so we agree, DK Metcalf, wide receiver one in Dynasty. I've seen several other people on board and agreeing with that same thing, especially after that big performance he had back in week five when he, along with Russell Wilson, really won the game for the Seahawks. Who's your wide receiver two?
Along the same lines, A.J. Brown. I mean, I think he's ridiculously talented. I think he has T.O. and Julio-like qualities. I think Tannehill's a much better quarterback than people realize. I think it's an extremely well-schemed offense. Tannehill's not going anywhere for a while. I think he's nipping on DK's heels. You know, I mean, he hasn't been as productive this year, but I think AJ Brown is a very, very special player.
Yeah, I've got AJ Brown as my wide receiver three, and really agree with everything you said. If you've got either one of those guys, it's crazy to think that they were teammates in college just a couple of years ago. I mean, that Ole Miss team was loaded and still couldn't win any games. It's wild, but yeah, AJ Brown, like we said a few minutes ago, he missed some time with the injury. He's picked right back up where he left off, and really where he left off last season when he was so quickly gaining value. And talking about those young wide receivers, Metcalf, AJ Brown, CeeDee Lamb, and Calvin Ridley. It was AJ Brown who entered the season with the most value, and then he really did kind of fall by the wayside a bit because of the injury. My wide receiver two is the rookie CeeDee Lamb. Just really been so impressed with his play, with his transition to the NFL. Obviously, love the offense that he's in. I hate to see his quarterback Dak Prescott gone for the year, but even with that, still just a player that I would be so excited to draft. I did a podcast with Curtis Patrick and Rich Rebar prior to the season, and basically we were trying to predict who our top 12 wide receivers would be at the end of the season. So if we fast forward to the end of the 2020 season, who would our top 12 be? And I had CeeDee Lamb inside my top 12, but was a little bit lower, actually quite a bit lower. I think he was 10th or 11th. And we had a long conversation about that. There was a little bit of pushback. And now again, with the chance to see a month and a half of this guy, not only is he a top 12 player, he might be a top 2 or 3 or 4 wide receiver. No matter how aggressive you want to be, for me, he's all the way up at 2. It's kind of nip and tuck with AJ Brown. If I could see myself certainly flip flopping those, but for me, those three are easily the top three and the top tier right now.
I'm just not quite there yet with Lamb. He did not make my top 5, and I knew he was going to be your 2 after our conversation a week or so ago. And I asked myself, if I had CeeDee Lamb right now, would I take the bird in the hand and trade him straight up for Ridley or Godwin? And I said, yeah, I would. And I might regret that. I respect everything you're saying. I'm just not quite there yet.
Yeah. No, that's understandable. Obviously does have still plenty of competition in Dallas. So we're going to see we're going to see some down games from CeeDee Lamb. Not only because of that competition, but because of the loss of Dak Prescott. But this is a guy that's on pace to set the all-time rookie receiving record, and that feels pretty special. if it feels too early, if 6 games feels too early for you, I totally understand that, and I wouldn't even try to argue that point. Again, it really comes down to how you play Dynasty. And if you want to see a year of these guys before you really invest, and you know that means sometimes you have to pay the higher price in the off season, that's understandable. I know many people do that, and plenty of people I respect. Rich Rebar, again, just mentioned him. He plays that way, and I get it. I understand.
Yeah.
Wide receiver 4, who do you have, Matt?
Well, my 3, 4, 5, I'm just going to lump them all together because I think they're really similar. And I hope I'm not sticking around too long, but it's Devontae, it's Thomas, it's Tyreek. All very similar in age, production, established. I put Adams number 1 of those just because I think Rodgers is going to be there for the long haul and playing great. I put Hill last because I don't know that he's going to be the volume guy that the other two are. You know, the Breeze situation worries me a little. But Thomas's production over his career is just so remarkable that I think that we might be moving on from him a little early.
Yeah, that's certainly true. And if you're totally giving up on Thomas as an elite asset, as a valuable asset, then I think you're jumping off the bandwagon way too soon. I have moved him down my rankings. But that's not even really meant to be a knock. If I've got him on my team, I'm still certainly happy with that, especially looking forward to him getting back on the field soon, but still carries a ton of value. I would want to ask you though, you've got Hill and you've got Adams and Thomas. These guys are all 26 or 27 years old, and they've proven to be elite for the past several years. Does DeAndre Hopkins, is he still in that conversation for you, or is he?
I didn't even consider him. I just consider him as older than these guys. But boy, is he productive, and he's not dropping off, and the Cardinals just gave him a lot of money. So I guess he's outside that, but maybe he should be closer to Adams, Thomas, Hill than I gave him credit for on second thought. But he worries me just because he doesn't have elite traits, you know, like, whenever he loses a step, and he can't afford to lose a step, but it doesn't matter with that guy. I mean, he's an anomaly.
Yeah, that makes sense on Hopkins. I've been impressed with him obviously this year, and he's moved actually back up into my rankings. He was way too low entering the season because of some of those same concerns. I'll round out my top five and we'll call it a day, Matt. Wide receiver four for me is Tyreek Hill. Still super high on him. He's a little bit younger than Hopkins and Adams and Thomas. I think 1 year younger than those guys. And then number five is Calvin Ridley. We talked about him as well. You said for you, he was just outside your top seven. I guess we saw a little bit of how he played without Julio Jones, and for the most part, it was encouraging. You know, I don't think we're going to have another Juju Smith-Schuster that falls apart when that alpha eventually leaves.
No, I'm here. I love him. He's a great player. Yep.
Great question from CD, and always a good idea to revisit your own rankings or the rankings of those you trust and rely on. That will do it for today's show. Please make sure you download and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Remember to follow the show at Locked On Dynasty. Follow Matt at Williamson NFL, and I'm Ryan MC23. We'll be back next time with more Locked On Dynasty.